Within minutes, I was talking to addicts, and the addicts were telling me about person after person who had died. Loved ones of theirs, friends of theirs who had died on the streets. Now, you know, we call it as it is in this program. Is it because these people are seen to be at the lower ends of our society? Wrongly perceived like that. That it doesn't actually matter compared to a high-profile death? That some of the poorest, most vulnerable, most troubled people are dying on our streets, hooked on cocaine and heroin? And then a massive question for the PSNI this morning. And they will talk, no doubt, about needing information and contacting Crime Stoppers. If a 10-year-old went into Belfast City Centre today, they could be shown where the drug dealers are openly sitting, openly dealing, openly ruining lives. So where are the high-profile campaigns from our police service? Where are they? We hear about multi-agency approaches. Well, where is it? Because it's disgusting, absolutely disgusting, when you see the human misery on our streets. Now, the debate that this program is pushing is around whether drugs should be decriminalised. That's what the Green Party wants to happen. There are many people against it, saying that it would encourage further use. But there certainly should be a debate in this country as to what should happen next. So when I went into town, into Belfast City Centre, with all of those lovely shops, I wasn't prepared for what I found. But talk to me about the cocaine. So yeah. How much were you taking? And
every day. Every day. I was 6.5 stone. I lost everything because of drugs.
So tell me what you lost. What did you have?
Well, my family. I had a partner 9 years. 2 beautiful kids. They're now staying with my dad. Do you know what I mean? This happened my whole life. I worked my whole life. Was the manager for Costa Coffee. Drugs ruined my life. Absolutely lost everything. Yeah. But I'm trying to get back on track again. It's just hard, you know what I mean?
And do you ever see your kids?
Yeah.
How old are they?
They're 10 and 7.
Do they understand?
Yeah. I put them into, like, Bernardo, so they're able to, you know, in a child-friendly way, let them understand that mummy is sick and that it is an illness, do you know what I mean? Addiction's an illness, do you know what I mean? And it is hard.
Like, when you think of mum not being there for your kids?
Yeah, I lost my mum, so I can't, do you know what I mean? I feel so guilty. So I'm glad that they're been able to understand in a child-friendly way that it's not that mummy didn't love them or anything.
What age do you say you are?
21.
Are you not worried if that's your future?
Well, no, see, to be honest, I'm just trying to get somewhere to live, and once I get somewhere to live, I'm going to sort myself out and take away
my... But if you leave it too late?
No, I'm not going to leave it too late. That's why I'm in the process with the housing and stuff now, to try and get somewhere to live. Because me being on the street, I think it's bad for me. Because I'll end up going down the wrong path or taking the wrong thing because I'm on the street. And I don't want to do that. I don't want to be like that either. You know what I mean?
If you're 21...
Well, no, I don't sniff enough, and I only drink and take grass. That's all.
What? It scares me to see somebody as young as you.
Exactly.
Like, you don't realise how young and naive, and I'm not trying to sound patronising, being 21 is, but like...
No, I understand. I know where you're coming from, Stephen, and you know what I mean? You're definitely right. I hate it. I don't like where I am. I don't like... You know what I mean?
You hate what?
All this, I hate being on the street. I shouldn't be on the street. I know I shouldn't be on the street. Running about the town, looking at people taking heroin, looking at people taking crack, looking at people taking coke, pinning coke in their legs and their arms. I don't like to see all that, you know what I mean? I'd rather be looking at my kids, looking at my wife, looking at my car instead of looking at all that. If you get me, you know what I mean? I am not where I want to be. And it annoys me, and I need to be where I want to be.
And tell me how widespread drug addicts are and drug dealers are in this city.
Stephen, see, to be honest, mate, the whole town is flooded. you would get drugs in this town, anything you want, you would get it in this town in 0.2 seconds. They're everywhere. And it's not as if you have to go and ask them or ring them and get it off them. They would be walking about the town, tapping you, asking you, do you need this, do you want that? In this city, 100% Steve. It's so easy.
Don't be another statistic. Don't end up dead somewhere with a needle lying by your side.
Definitely not, Steve, no way. See, you even saying that to me, that's, you know what I mean? That gives you, like, shivers and all. Definitely not, no way, Steve.
So you're the guy that send the people that are going into a bar and asking for a Coke? No. Get out, unless you're buying a pint.
This is getting blew out of all proportion. Stephen, we're drink only. We don't have any food, sport, music, nothing. All we have is drink.
Well, what if I want a wee Fanta or a Coke?
Stephen, I don't know how I would address that. Stephen, we want men in. We want people in drinking pints of Guinness. Last week we sold 3,000 pints of Guinness. That was the busiest week of the year. So it's all about the pints, Stephen. I've been on drinking myself.
So am I. I don't drink.
I don't drink either. I would be scared of walking to a pub in this town and ask for a Coke or a Fanta. They'd put me out, Stephen.
Well, you'd put us out. You would put me out if I asked for a Coke, wouldn't you?
No, Stephen. No. It's just getting blew to all proportion. What there was, a man come in at 12:10 on the Friday. We gave him the very last table in the bar and he wanted a pint of Coke. Stephen, nobody has ever asked me for a pint of Coke.
Pints of Coke.
No, Stephen. My brain's not processed to serve pints of Coke. It doesn't work. I've tried it. It doesn't work. We're giving the last. Have you had a ask for a pint of Guinness? Well, to put it up, no problem.
What on earth do you mean you've tried it and it doesn't work? What do you mean?
No, Stephen. I've tried all this year serving people pints of Coke. It doesn't work. It disgruntles the rest of the customers who are sitting drinking. People sitting drinking.
Clear off.
It does, Stephen.
Clear
it
off.
Does,
how does it disgruntle anybody? How does it affect anybody else what you're drinking?
If a man sitting drinking a pint of Guinness and somebody's drinking a pint of Coke, the customer drinking a Guinness gives the other person dirty looks.
No,
as if to say, what are you doing in here?
You're on a wind-up. How on earth does someone tell the difference from a pint of Coke and a flat beer? So, Declan, with all that you've described to us this morning...
Sorry, this is my last point, and it's important. I'm sorry for cutting across you. If I was told tomorrow, and I live with this Dan Bailey, that I had 6 months to live, Dean comes with me.
What do you mean?
I take Dean with me. That's what I mean.
I don't know what you mean.
I kill Dean. That's what I mean. I leave Dean.
Now, Declan, you know you can't say that and shouldn't say that. Declan, are you there? Bring him back, please.
Declan, do I do with Dean? If something happens to me, what do I do? Who's going to take Dean?
Yes, but you cannot threaten to kill your son in a hypothetical situation now.
I think about that day and daily, that what do I do with Dean? Who do I trust? Who do I give Dean to? And I know we're talking to other people, I'm not my own. Who do we give our loved ones, our spouse,
well,
that take 24 hours?
Well, look, I don't need to tell you this in terms of obviously the love and care you have about your son. It's, you know, it's manifesting itself through how much attention you give him. But your son is a human being in his own right, and you have no right and would have no right to take his life because you're dying. You're not dying, but you're presenting a hypothetical situation. So Declan's has just gone. I tried to give Declan as much time as possible. It's a pity he's gone. We'll try to ring him back right now, because what I wanted to ask Declan, and look, he said he wanted a voice on the BBC, and I want to give him one this morning. We've actually dropped the story so that we can.
And Mary's calling us from Nottingham this morning. Morning, Mary.
Good morning.
You're listening into this, and you're sick of what?
Well, I listen quite often, and I hear many of your callers speaking about rates, dentistry, hospitals, all the rest of it, education, and they sound as if they feel they're entitled to something. But do they realise how much they're subsidised by people, taxpayers, over here?
What do you mean?
I think you know what I mean.
I do, but I want you to spell it out.
No, you spell it out.
I know exactly what you're saying. You're talking about a sense of entitlement.
Yeah, they do sound entitled. To my ears, they sound entitled, as if we must subsidise them. Why?
Well, I think it's worth saying, sorry, can I just say, Mary, it is worth pointing out that there are large parts of England, and I presume Scotland and Wales as well, which are also subsidised in the UK Exchequer. And it's just the nature of the game. And it isn't just this country that happens in. There are parts of every individual country you can go to which need help from the centre, and they get help from the centre. It's part of it belonging to the same country.
Put that in your pipe,
but
smoke
I
it, Mary.
Also would like to know, I would love somebody to do a referendum over here to see if we want you. Many of us over
Sorry.
Here are sick of you.
Sorry, Mary.
The flag waving, the ranting and raving. We don't like it. We don't want
Mary,
it.
Can
I wish you would go away.
Mary, can I point out to you that you have no right to want us or not until the people
I
of this country decide this place
right
is...
I have want you.
No, you have no right.
You may want
you have
to
no,
be in
you
the
have,
UK
you have no,
and I'm entitled to want
Yeah, you're entitled to your opinion,
UK.
But you have no... You know, we don't, we
my
do,
opinion is as valid as yours.
We do not need the people of England and you in Nottingham to decide whether you want us or not until
I
this country...
I will decide what I like.
Yeah, you can with your opinion, of course. Of course you can.
You are nobody to me.
Yeah, that's fine. That is absolutely right. But what I'm talking about is not you personally. I'm talking about England. England has no right to decide whether it
we
wants Northern Ireland or not.
Right. We have an
This place is as much
right.
part of the UK as you are.
It. We should get rid of you or I wish you would just go away. I wish, but I don't believe even the Republic would want you.
So do you think the same of people in other pockets of England? Would you say this to people in Manchester?
Please don't insult my intelligence by confusing England with your province.
Sorry, don't insult your intelligence by suggesting that Northern Ireland is as much part, that Belfast is as much part of the UK as Manchester
so
or
you
London.
Believe
Are you for real?
Waving a flag and ranting and raving makes you British. It does not.
Within the last few minutes, the Nolan Show has been able to stand up a pretty significant story this morning. We're talking about the visit of the President of the United States of America. The Nolan Show has just gained possession of an official sensitive document which is showing the PSNI's security plans around the presidential visit. So obviously this is significant. The person who found the document lying in the street is a guy called Bill, who has sent them on to the BBC, to this programme. Bill, good morning.
Good morning, Stephen.
Good morning. Now obviously we're going to be very careful here. We're not going to be revealing information within this document, but this is a serious security breach.
Yeah, it does say on the top of it, sensitive, highly sensitive. You know, it's a sensitive document. It gives you details of roads being closed, who the commanders are, phone numbers. You know, it's giving you so much detail on officers or on, out on service there. You know, I think it's a bit crazy to be lying about the street.
So how did you, like, talk me through it?
Literally came out of my home, drove up the street, and I seen the document. Strangely, in the street where I lived, quite clean, everything. So I just stopped, picked it up, and there it was. And the first thing I noticed and say was a PSNI document with sensitive on the top, and there's five pages of it, giving full details of the stay at the Grand Central Hotel of the President of America.
It's. I'll just talk you through some of the document, and I'm going to be careful what I say yep. here, but this is a document where the event name is given an operation name. It's called Op Rondoletto at the Grand Central Hotel. It's a briefing document. It talks through all the deployments. It lists and names every PSNI officer which is in charge of the different streets. It shows the instructions of what they're doing. For example, it shows where and how they're going to be restricting vehicle and pedestrian access. It talks about when hostile vehicle mitigation is installed by contractors what is going to happen. Can you imagine if dissidents had got a hold of this bill? Would it have given them any information that would have been useful for them to try to engage in terrorism?
I think it could, because if you look at the last page, last paragraph, it gives you the contact detail of the commanding officer, and there's phone numbers on that as well. And it's, for me, if this had a fell into the wrong hands, but it may be an earlier time, it's just that it doesn't bear thinking about when you think about what they will go to do, the lengths will go to do to try and kill police officers alone.
I'm interested in the psychological impact in this as well. You said that when you try to sleep now, you have that sensation of choking.
Every time I try to close my eyes and try to go to sleep, I imagine I'll be choking. I haven't slept since this happened. I haven't seen my car. I don't know how I'm going to feel like getting back into it again. I am one of the night shift drivers, or I don't know how I feel about going back to work to do nights or at all. I don't know. I have no idea what tomorrow looks like.
When you say you've finally stopped crying.
Yeah, well, I was preemptive because I'm proud that I...
So this is still with you?
Oh, this is haunting me.
The flashbacks or the fear that you nearly died or what?
Oh, it's just so, still so real. Still so real. It's still happening. It's still very real. I'm not this person. I am normally the strong person, and this is not me. But this person has damaged me.
Well, you will understand when I say to you, you know, you're not a weak person because you're expressing human emotion. What happened to you was horrific.
I know.
You've then got the reality. You've got to earn money. You've got to pay your bills. And now you're sick.
Yeah.
Like somebody's attempted to kill you 2 days ago.
Yeah.
3 days ago, Sunday morning.
The day before I was meant to start school, the private firm came to the house and introduced themselves. And then a few hours later, they contacted my mum and said, we need to pick up Kingston at 7:30 because they have other people to pick up. And then the next day, they came at 7:30. I was getting ready. The girls were getting me ready and I wasn't able to go out the door. And they said, they waited a few minutes and then they said, we need to go on. They went on and I also didn't get in school.
I know your dad's listening, Colin. So essentially the buck stops here with the Education Authority.
Yes.
So the Education Authority need to provide you, Kingston.
Yeah.
And look, no offence, Colin, I know your dad, but I want to try to talk to Kingston as much as possible, because Kingston, you're an articulate young man, you can speak for yourself, and I want you to be able to tell your own story, Kingston. Is that okay?
Yeah, that's fine. Yeah.
So the Education Authority, it is their responsibility to get you to school. So if I'm summarising this in my head, your carers arrive at 7:15.
Yeah.
And so what time is that bus not prepared to stay outside your house beyond? What time are they insisting that you're ready to get on that bus at?
So they're saying they only can wait up to 2 to 3 minutes.
The time is crucial here. What time is that bus driving away without you on it?
7:35, probably.
But that doesn't give you time. Because of the disability you have, does not give you time to get up and... There's someone helping you shower, correct? Someone helping you get dressed.
Yes.
And they're saying, we know you have a disability, but we're not waiting for you, correct?
Yes.
Well, are they indeed?
Yes.